Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal. 12, 11, 10, 9. Ignition sequence starts. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Deeper Truth is back, and better than ever. From John Carpenter and Journey with Mary, Sunday nights at 9 Eastern, 8 Central. Dr. Gregory Thompson and Eucharistic Miracles, Monday nights at 9 Eastern, 8 Central. Yours truly with the Saint of the Day. And Donald Hartley, the Catholic Defender. We're back with an even deeper truth. Join us. Ladies and gentlemen, presenting Hartley's Heroes. Here's Donald Hartley with his Hartley's Hero for today.
And hello again. Today, on July 12th, our saint of the day is John Jones and John Wall. John Jones was born to a Catholic family in Climag 4 in the county of Carnarvon in Wales around the year 1530. In these years, Queen Mary Tudor accomplished the restoration of the Catholic Church after a brief reign of Edward VI had taken the Church of England into the Calvinist fold. Mary's ascension had allowed the English friars who had fled into exile in Flanders and Scotland to return, and in April 1555, the Friary of Greenwich, in which Mary and Elizabeth had been baptized, was reopened. John joined the friary and took the name of Godfrey Maurice, becoming known for his piety. At Mary's untimely death in 1558, however, her half-sister Elizabeth assumed the throne, and it was not long before Catholics were once more persecuted in England. John Jones, although still a novice, was forced to flee to France. The English observant Franciscans fled to a friary in Pontos, where John was professed and trained. He was probably ordained a priest at Reims, where there was another friary of the exiled English province. John Wall was born in 1620. That's the year the Pilgrims landed in America, near Preston in Lancashire. In 1641, he transferred to the English College in Rome, where he was ordained a priest in 1645 near Preston in Lancashire. As a young man, he entered the English College in Douay, where he was taught by the famous Dr. Kellison. In 1641, he transferred to the English College in Rome, where he was ordained a priest in 1645 near Preston in Lancashire. As a young man, he entered the English College of Douay, where he was taught by the famous Dr. Kellison. In 1641, he transferred to the English College in Rome, where he was ordained a priest in 1645. These two friars were martyred in England in the 16th and 17th centuries for refusing to deny their faith. John Jones was Welsh. He was ordained a diocesan priest and was twice imprisoned for administering the sacraments before leaving England in 1590. He left England either escaped or exile in 1590, and was, at the age of 26, joined the Convention of Franciscans at Pontiac, at Pontus. Afterward, he went to Rome, where he lived among the observant friars of the Ara Coeli. After a time, he was sent back by his superiors to the English mission, and there and before leaving Rome, he had an audience with Pope Clement VIII, who embraced him and gave him his blessing. Despite his care, John Jones was caught late in 1595, or early 1596, by Richard Topcliffe, who nurtured a cruel hatred for the Catholic faith and was sanctioned by the Queen to maintain a private torture chamber in his house for the Catholic priests he apprehended. John Jones was accused of being a spy and sent to the notorious Clink prison, from which we deserve the expression being in the clink. There he languished for nigh on 2 years awaiting trial. In prison, James continued his ministry and converted many, including St. John Rugby, who has himself martyred 2 years after John Jones, and that's on 21 June of 1600. On 3 July 1598, John Jones was finally brought to trial for having exercised his ministry as a Catholic priest in England. He was sentenced to hang, drawing, and quartering in St. Thomas Watering, but was meanwhile imprisoned in Marseilles prison. The Jesuit Henry Garnett recounts a letter that on 12 July 1598, John was tied to a trellis and dragged to his place of torment. He was held there for an hour before execution, during which time Topcliffe harangued the crowd with his supposed crimes. Garnett recounts that the crowd was touched more by John's prayers than the calamities of his torture and his executioner. His remains were hung up on the road between Newington and Lambeth. Jones reached London about the end of 1592 and stayed temporarily at the house where John Gerard had provided for missionary priests, which house was managed by Anne Lyme. Jones ministered to the Catholics in England, the English countryside, until his arrest in 1596. In 1596, the priest catcher Richard Topcliffe was informed by a spy that Jones had visited two Catholics and had said Mass in their home. It was later shown that the two Catholics were actually in prison when the alleged offense took place. Regardless, Jones was arrested, severely tortured, and scourged. Topcliffe then took Jones to his house, where he was further tortured. Following his torture, Jones was imprisoned for nearly 2 years. During this time, Jones helped sustain John Rigby in his faith and later became one of the early 40 martyrs of England and Wales. His own leg injury was healed by James Wiseman, who was also a prisoner, in December 1595. On 3 July 1598, Jones was tried on the charge of going over the seas in his first year of Her Majesty's reign, 1558, and there being made a priest by the authority from Rome, and then returning to the English countryside to statute. He was convicted of high treason and sentenced to be hanged, drawn, and quartered. Like Margaret Chilowell, Wiseman refused to enter a plea and was therefore condemned. St. John Jones, circa 1530 to 1598, and St. John Wall, 1620 to 1679. These two friars were martyred in England in the 16th and 17th centuries for refusing to deny their faith. John Jones was Welsh. He joined the Franciscans at the age of 60 and returned to England 3 years later, where Queen Elizabeth I was at the height of her power. John ministered to Catholics in the English countryside until his imprisonment in 1598. He was condemned to be hanged, drawn, and quartered. John was executed in July 12, 1598. John Wall was born in England, but educated at the English College of Douai, Belgium. Ordained in Rome in 1648, he entered the Franciscans in Douai several years later. In 1656, he returned to work secretly in England. In 1678, Titus Oates worked many English people in a frenzy over alleged papal plot to murder the king and restore Catholicism in that country. In that year, Catholics were legally excluded from Parliament, a law which was not repealed until 1829. John Wall was arrested and imprisoned in 1678 and was executed the following year. John Jones was named venerable by Pope Leo XIII and beatified in 1929 by Pope Pius XI with a feast day of 12 July. He was canonized on 25 October 1970 by Pope Paul VI and was one of the 40 martyrs of England and Wales who are commemorated on that date. Beatified 15 December 1929 by Pope Pius XI, John Jones and John Wall were canonized in 1970. And that is our saint for the day.
Presenting from Deeper Truth, the saint of the day. They say that every dog has its day. Well, so does every saint. And when the saints go marching in, Donald Hartley, the Catholic defender, knows exactly who's going to be in that number. And he'll share them with you every day. That's the saint of the day for inspiring true stories of your everyday saint. Don't worry, they won't bite.
Ah, oh, but they'll sure bless.
Well, you know, John, or Mike, these two saints, Saints John Jones and John Wall, they are much like the saints that we have recently honored who were martyrs from distant lands, from China to Japan, and also going all the way back to the early church, Rome, mm-hmm. the Roman, you know, the first martyrs of Rome.
England at one time, lest we forget, persecuted Catholics.
Yeah, they did. From 1829 to 1918.
Henry VIII set himself up as the head of the Church of England, and all other churches were verboten.
It was, yeah.
Thank God England's and not then, like that today.
That's true in England, but today there are many church suffering in the Middle East. And we focused on Syria as well, martyrs in Syria, and then also in Iraq. I was in Iraq at a time when there was many martyrs in Iraq. And that's, you know, Afghanistan. And so the blood of the martyrs. And so we pray for the persecuted church. And we also pray for our holy Catholic priests.
It is time to pray for our priests, the real men in black.
Well, you wonder why I always dress in black, why you never see bright colors on my back, and why does my appearance seem to have a somber tone? Well, there's a reason for the things that I have on.
Without them, there are no sacraments. He counsels you. Who counsels him? He is on the front lines in the war against sin.
I wear it for another 100,000 who have died, believing that we all were on their side.
Now let us join together as we pray for our priests.
I'm the man in black.
The Catholic priest, always at your side when you fall. And today's priest Our prayer for priest is by the late, great John Cardinal O'Connor. O loving Mother Mary, Mother of Priests, take to your heart your sons who are close to you because of their priestly ordination and because of the power which they have received to carry on the work of Christ in a world which needs them so much. Be their comfort, be their joy, be their strength, and especially help them to live and to defend the ideals of consecrated celibacy. Lord Jesus, we your people pray to you for our priests. You have given them to us for our needs. We pray for them in their needs. We know that you have made them priests in the likeness of your own priesthood. You have consecrated them, set them aside, anointed them, filled them with the Holy Spirit, anointed them to teach, to preach, to minister, to console, to forgive, and to feed us with your body and blood. Yet we know too that we are one with us, that they are one with us, and share our human weaknesses. We know, too, that they are tempted to sin and discouragement as we are, needed to be ministered to, as do we, to be consoled and forgiven, as do we. Indeed, we thank you for choosing them from among us, so that they understand us as we understand them, suffer with us, and rejoice with us, worry with us, and trust with us, share our beings, our lives, our faith. We ask that you give them this day the gift you gave your chosen ones on the way to Emmaus, your presence in their hearts, your holiness in their souls, your joy in their spirits, and let them see your face to face, see you in your face to face in the breaking of the bread, the Eucharistic bread. We pray to you, O Lord, through Mary, the mother of all priests, for your priests and for ours. Amen. And so we're praying for our priests.
Amen.
Cardinal O'Connor.
It is time to pray for our priests, the real men in black.
Well, you wonder why I always dress in black. Why you never see bright colors on my back. And why does my appearance seem to have a somber tone? Well, there's a reason for the things that I have on.
Without them, there are no sacraments. He counsels you. Who counsels him? He is on the front lines in the war against sin.
I wear it for another 100,000 who have died, believing that we all were on their side.
Now let us join together as we pray for our priests.
I'm the man in black.
And as we pray for our priests, we pray for Pope Francis. We pray for those who are suffering from addictions, those who need deliverance. We pray for all of those who are in most need of your mercy. We pray for the prodigals. Pray for children.
It is time to pray for those who will carry the faith beyond our years. Our
children, children.
You'll have that responsibility soon enough, kids. But for now,
run and jump and play. Young, carefree children.
And help them keep their childlike faith.
And the thing that's really sad is that we lose the faith we had when we were children. Loud, proud children.
And Pope Benedict XVI spoke of his prayer life as he encouraged the children in their love for Christ. The day of my first Holy Communion was one of the most beautiful days of my life. It is the same for you, isn't it? And why is that? Asked the Pope. It's not only because of our nice clothes or the gifts we receive, nor even because of the parties. It is above all because that day we received Jesus in the Eucharist for the first time. The Pope addressed over 800 children gathered at St. Rita's Parish, the largest city there. His talk followed a visit to a nearby shelter for abandoned, sick, and malnourished children, run by Mother Teresa's Missionaries of Charity. There the children sang and danced for Pope Benedict. And Pope St. John Paul II, he had a prayer as well. Lord God, from you every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. Father, you are love and life. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, born of woman, and through the Holy Spirit, fountain of divine charity, grant that every family on earth may become for each successive generation a true shrine of life and love. Truly, Lord, life is more worth living with you to guide us always. Today I ask you to bless our children, Lord, that they too might experience your grace today. Thank you that they are well rested and ready to face another day. I am also grateful, Lord, for the wisdom you give to their young minds. Lord God, we praise you that you are fully in control of all things. I pray you would protect my child, our children. Keep them healthy and help them to thrive. I thank you that you know every hair on their head. Dear Jesus, receive me also on this day and hear my morning prayer. Bless my parents, teachers, and all those who love and care for me. Bless me also and protect me from danger and evil. Give me strength to be truthful, honest, kind, and helpful to others. Heavenly Father, we thank you for blessing us with our children. Thank you that they get to go to school and increase in knowledge as they learn something new each day. Father, give them the wisdom to make the correct choices at school. Oh, little Teresa of the Child Jesus, please pick for me a rose from the heavenly gardens and send it to me as a message of love. Oh, little flower of Jesus, ask God to grant the favors I now place with confidence in your hands for children everywhere, for their innocence and protection. Saint Teresa, help me to always believe, as you did, in God's great love for me, so that I might imitate your little way each day. Amen. And Saint Joseph, well, you know, these Because St. Christopher offered protection to travelers and against sudden death, many churches place images or statues of him, usually opposite the south door, so he could be easily seen. He is usually depicted as a giant with a child on his shoulder and a staff in one hand. And St. Michael, the archangel, the illustrious leader of the heavenly army, defend us in the battle against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the world of darkness, and the spirit of wickedness in high places. St. Raphael, the archangel, the patron saint of healing. In Hebrew, his name literally means God heals. We can find Raphael in the Old Testament book of Tobit, where he is revealed as a healer of mind, body, and spirit. We can invoke his powerful intercession in our own daily lives. St. Monica, who prayed for her son's conversion for 17 years, certainly knew how it to have to wait, to encounter hardships, frustrations, and disappointments with a strong faith and with perseverance. St. Anthony holds the child Jesus next to Mary in Nazareth, the saint most often seen in artwork holding the child Jesus in the arms is Saint Anthony of Padua. In Psalms 91, verse 1 to 2 and 10 to 12 says, "Thank you for being my child's keeper. You are the shade on my child's right hand. The sun will not strike my child by day, nor the moon by night. Thank you in advance for keeping my child from all evil. You will keep my child's life from this time forth and forevermore." And Psalm 18, verses 2 and 3, "Lord, I pray that you are my child's refuge and fortress, the God in whom they can and should put their trust. I pray that no evil shall be allowed to befall on my child. No plague will come near his or her tent. And the God of my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior. You save me from violence upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies." And so we want to dedicate these prayers for our children, Lord. And thank you.
Don't you know that we're all children, and it's all for one and one for all? Children, call each other names. Children, play in the grown-up game. And the thing that's really sad is that we lose the faith we had when we were children. Loud, proud children. Children who think that they are grown. Children with children of their own. From the cradle to the grave, I wish we could all behave like little children. God's little children, sweet, precious children, pretty, dirty children, little, bitty children, 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 children.
All right, Mike. And as a sneak peek, Mike, our saint for tomorrow.
Saint
Henry. So tomorrow's saint is Saint Henry for tomorrow. And so listen in.
Saint Henry.
Yes, Saint Henry.
The only Henry I knew from back then was Henry VIII. Well, I'm sure we're not talking about him.
No, Nick's Nine, the Bonhoff. No, Nick's Nine. No, this is Saint Henry. This is somebody, this is a Henry that's in heaven. So that's...
This guy's on our side.
He's on our side, that's for sure. And so, Mike, thank you again for today and
it's been quite a
sharing
morning.
The story of Saints John Jones and John Wall. And so we will be back again tomorrow.
Same bat time, and same bat channel.
Amen. And so thank you so much. And pray for our children. God bless you all out there in deeper truth land. Good day. Thank you, Mike. See you tomorrow.
You bet.